Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Hi, this is Carol Topp. Welcome back to the Dollars and Cents Show. Episode number 46 is part two of a two-part presentation I did at a homeschool convention in Michigan at the INCH convention. It's called How to Teach Your Kids About Managing Money When You're Not Doing So Great Yourself. Now, in part one, which you can find at dollarsandcentsshow.com, episode number 45, I talked about what to teach and how to teach the younger kids, you know, the preschoolers and elementary age. And in this part of the workshop, part two here of the podcast, I talk more about what you want to be teaching your high schoolers or your teenagers. And I list a bunch of resources. They will be on a handout over at dollarsandcentsshow.com. Just look for episodes number 45 and 46 for that handout. And I also took some questions from the audience, and that's always a lot of fun just to hear about what kind of challenges they have in trying to teach kids how to manage money well so that they become the responsible adults that we want them to become. Hey, if you want more information about this topic of teaching kids about managing money, you might want to check out a four-part podcast series I did at the dollarsandcentsshow.com. Look for some of the early episodes numbers 7, 8, 9, and 10, and they are teaching kids about money at the different ages of the children. So there's a show devoted to preschoolers, then elementary kids, preteenagers, and teenagers. And I go into a lot more depth about what kind of topics you want to teach them, and also a lot of helpful resources. So you can find that in the archives at the dollarsandcentsshow.com. Just start scrolling down till you find the workshops about how to teach kids about managing money, episodes numbers 7 through 10. And I hope you enjoy this podcast as well. Thanks.
More to teach teenagers, because you're getting near the end of your influence on them. You're going to shove lots of information in their brains. We talked about this before, but avoiding credit card debt. So teach them, you can have a debit card, son or daughter, but do you realize it immediately comes out of your checking account, you know, or just talk about the problems with debt. I had one mother ask me at a workshop like this, and she had two sons, and one was the saver and one was the spender. Very, very frequently happens in families. And the spender had spent some money or wanted some, and he didn't have any savings. He'd spent all his money and he wanted something, and the parents did not want to give him the money, and I think they were pre-teenage, okay? So the saving son was going to loan his brother the money. Well, that doesn't teach the lesson the parents were trying to teach. So I said, okay, saving brother can loan spending brother the money, but charge him 18%. That's what a credit card would charge, right? You want them to feel the pain. So go ahead and let them feel the pain. If they ask for a loan, yeah, that'll be 18%. And then really hurt them and do something like per day. You know, anyway, maybe not that badly. But anyway, you want them to feel the pain on small issues so that they aren't experiencing that pain on big issues. Teach them about taxes and federal spending. I give you some resources. I have a website, teensandtaxes.com. It gets a lot of hits on April 14th and April 15th. The IRS, actually, I put on your handout too, I think, has a wonderful website, the IRS. How about that? Called Understanding Taxes. And there are some simulations. Have them prepare their own tax return. Or at least, and if you feel bold enough, show them yours. Okay? Show them yours. The IRS has a website. It's called Understanding Taxes. It's lesson guides, and it's also simulations of various taxpayers. Like, they will have a teenager. Here's a simulation of a teenager. They give you a paragraph, and then you, like, work through the tax return at a pretty simple level. But it's a great way to learn about taxes. They came to a homeschool conference a couple years ago in Cincinnati, and people come up to my booth and say, the IRS is here. So I went over and talked to him, and then she was just the friendliest person ever. She had a stack of these brochures to explain that they have a website to try to teach people about how to prepare their tax returns. She was a lovely lady to talk to, actually. Talked to them about entrepreneurship. I do have some door prizes because the next workshop right after this is going to be about teaching teenagers about how their own micro business, and one of the door prizes I want to give to you guys is the books on an ebook card. They will learn a lot about managing their own money if they're forced to earn their own money through running a micro business. Right? So here's some resources that I've come across. You guys might have more, but these are some things I found. Crown, I've already mentioned Crown Financial Ministries, crown.org. Wonderful. They've cut back a little bit on some of their resources, but they still have some very good things for children. I think they're just trying to simplify. And wonderful, wonderful Bible studies. So I was, I'm a CPA, and I have a tendency to think when I do budget counseling, I did it for a little while from my church when my pastor would send somebody my way. And I would think, well, let's just whip you into shape. Let's just put that budget. Let's just put numbers on papers. Let's solve your problems. This is how CPAs think, right? We put numbers on paper, and that solves problems. And we went through a Bible study together, and she would do the Bible study on her own. And then we'd come back, and I would kind of say, how are you doing in your budget, and that kind of checkup once a month. And I should have known, but she said to me, actually, the thing that was most helpful, Carol, was that Bible study you had me do. Not putting numbers on paper all the time. So anyway, these wonderful resources from people like Crown, that was the Bible study she was going through, it was changing her mindset, right? And then her actions were following the change in her mindset and her thinking, because she was getting the Holy Spirit to teach her what the scripture said. I already mentioned Family Night Tool Chest, fun book by Jim Weidman, published a while back, but it's still out there, which means it's still very good. Dave Ramsey has some stuff for kids too, Junior's Adventures. And I mentioned I raised myself on John Roseman. He sometimes comes to homeschool conventions and speaks now. The one I really liked is this one, the 6-point plan for raising happy, healthy children. And then he's updated it. So it is now the new 6-point plan for raising happy, healthy children. And he's the kind of guy that's, that we'll just talk about, they don't need a room full of toys. Tinker toys, Legos, the kind of toys that allow scope for the imagination is good. He's the one that talks about benign deprivation and vitamin N and things like that. Teenagers, this is a wonderful website. The National Endowment for Financial Education, NEFE, offers a free curriculum, free. Their website for the recording here is HS for high school, FPP, financialplanningprogram.org, hsfpp.org. And I have used it at my homeschool co-op and when I have taught personal finance. It's about 6 lessons long. It's a booklet that the kids work in, a consumable booklet, and because this is a foundation, they send it to you for free. You just request it. And it is nice if you do it as a group. They prefer to, obviously, to send it to a group of kids as opposed to just you at home. But the teacher's manual is like this huge 3-ring binder because it is meant for schools. What I found that it lacked, I thought it was quite good. It's funded by credit unions, so there is a tendency to be a little heavy on the credit unions or the use of credit in your life. There will be a chapter on that. Okay, fine. But of course, what it lacked was any biblical or any scriptural basis. So I combined it with some stuff from Dave Ramsey. He puts out something called Generation Change, which is for youth groups. It was a DVD, and it, I believe, was about 4, anybody familiar? 4 or 6 lessons long. I used it with our high school youth group at our church. And his much more robust program is Foundations in Personal Finance or something like that, much more robust, meaning it's like a semester-long class. He used to just put out his very entertaining, very funny Financial Peace University on video, and I think kids, sometimes teenagers, can attend those sessions too. He used to just put that out, but he uses jokes that my generation understands. I'm not sure your generation even understands it, and certainly the kids didn't. So he updated, it was a good thing that he updated and put out something just for students. He has a special price for homeschool families too. Although I think it's still kind of pricey, but he's got good information. So maybe you can find it or do it as a group if he allows that. Yes, ma'am. Oh, so your church held a Financial Peace University class, and that is about how long? I'm forgetting, 10, 12 weeks?
Yes.
Your high school kids came for free?
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, some of it's a bit far away from their immediate need. I mean, when they start talking about retirement or something. You know, when I have taught teenagers, I would say to them, I would teach these high school kids, and I would say, this is a resource. I'm telling you this stuff now, and you're going to save this book because you're going to pull it off the shelf and use it again later. Well, sure enough, my daughter, of course, I made my daughters take it, right? So my daughter takes my personal finance class, and it was like 2 years later, she gets a check. She's paid by check, which rarely happens in this world anymore, right? Everything's direct deposit. She gets a check, and she's like, Mom, what am I supposed to do with this again? Okay, honey, it's called endorsing the back of the check. Remember that book I told you? Go pull that book off the shelf and read about it again. So what you're trying to do is expose them and then expose them again, and then the reality's going to hit, and you're going to say, pull up that book. I told you about this on your shelf, okay? Because that's just how they are. So I already mentioned Understanding Taxes, wonderful website for the IRS. My website, Teens and Taxes. The federal budget graphically displayed, this is a really fun website called wallstats.com. And he's a graphic designer, and he designs this poster of the federal budget, and the different departments of the federal budget are represented by circles. So Department of the Navy, you know, is big, and the Army is big, and then NASA is a little smaller, and then, you know, other departments and the other branches of the government. It's just a really interesting poster to look at. He used to have it on his website, and you could just kind of move around in it and zoom in and stuff like that. He took that down. Now he just sells the poster. But it's still worthwhile. I have one that's a couple years old, but I'm doing a workshop. I do it frequently at a a private school in Cincinnati that does personal finance camp. And these parents sign their kids up for personal finance camp in the summer, and the kids come. Anyway, I show them that. It's kind of fun. I show them the president's tax return. It's online. They released it. And then I show them the federal budget with graphically on this poster. It's kind of fun. For me, I'm a CPA. They think it's a lot of fun to look at the president's tax return. And I use his tax return. This is Obama's tax return from a couple years ago because it shows his salary in W-2. And then it shows $5 million business income. I'm like, the president has a business. What business does the president have? Kids? How can he run a business and be president? And they're scratching their heads. They're thinking about it. Do you know what his business was a couple years ago that he made $5 million at? His books. His books. Yeah. So they like that. That's kind of cool. Okay. I have some other stuff, so just some other resources. I wrote a book on career exploration. I have it as a door prize for you down at my booth as you're getting your kids to think about what they might do next or be next or study next after high school. It's a class I taught at my co-op. The book I used from Crown Financial Ministries went out of print. So I thought, well, I want to share with you what I learned by teaching this class. And since there was no resource that was affordable, I decided to write it. And then Microbusiness for Teens. A lot of fun. I'm looking forward to doing that workshop next.
Does your high school student struggle with choosing a career or college major? Are you fearing they might waste time and precious money switching majors in college? I'm Carol Topp, and my new book, Career Exploration for Homeschool High School Students, will help your teenager investigate their personality, their interests, their values, and then match them to possible careers. But career exploration doesn't stop there. The book walks students through researching careers and then mapping a plan to be prepared in high school for going on to college or whatever's next. My book, Career Exploration, works for individuals, but it's really great in a group or for use in a homeschool co-op. You can find Career Exploration on Amazon.com or on my websites, homeschoolcpa.com and microbusinessforteens.com. Help your student make one of the most important decisions in their lives, picking a career. Take a look at Career Exploration by Carol Topp today.
Okay. I also have a podcast. That's what your card, your postcard is, dollarsandcentsshow.com. And on there, I have done a four-part podcast. So four podcasts as part of a series. teaching kids about money, and I break it into the different ages, elementary, preschool, elementary, what's next? Preteen and teenagers. Okay. So if you've, you know, feel like, if you like listening to podcasts, do you know, anybody listen to podcasts? I like listening, but I learn a lot. I, you know, while I'm out walking, or I listen to quite a few podcasts now. So thank you. Here's your action plan. Try to talk to your kids today, if possible. It's a great opportunity down in the convention hall. If they're preschoolers, explain to them money is limited. And why? Because you have to spend it on other things, right? For your elementary kids, maybe talk to them about the divisions of money, if you haven't already. We give some, we save some, and we spend some. And if you're the type of person that gives them chores, maybe you start showing them that taxes take some, if you want to. But most of the time, the three divisions, give, save, and spend, are enough for that age. Preteens, talk to them about what things cost. Everything around you. What does this shirt cost? Everything, okay? And if you're ready, talk to your teenagers about some of the money mistakes you have made and how they can learn to avoid those same mistakes. So that's your homework, if you're ready for it.
At this point, one of the audience members asked a great question. I had mentioned that my oldest daughter was graduating from college but was returning home for a little while, so he wanted some details about, you know, how do you handle the financial arrangements with a child who is returning back home to live with you? And I hope it's helpful to you if you might be in a situation that's similar.
Well, and there's a couple reasons why we are letting her come back home. She went to school out of state. She's in Indiana. We're in Cincinnati, Ohio. She's kind of lost some of her connections to find a roommate. So we have said, my husband and I have said, why don't you come and live at home for 6 months? Gives you time to find a roommate or a house full of girls to move into. So it's temporary. We, you know, 6 months, maybe less. There's also some other good reasons why I want her home for some surgeries that are going to happen in the family, and I've talked to her about that, and she's agreed to help out, and we're going to set some rules about you will, you know, what house cleaning job do you want? And I'm the one having some surgery, so while I'm having this, I've already asked her, I want you to prepare meals, I want you to clean the full house, that kind of stuff. So there's going to be some cost to her to live at home with us. Does that make sense? I don't think we're going to charge her rent. We want to encourage her to save the money. I don't have the problem of her really being a real boomerang in that she's not unemployed. She's not, you know what I'm saying? So I don't have that problem. What was your ultimate question or concern? Or? I don't think we are, because I want her to save the money, but I'm extracting value from her in other ways, like I said. One thing I have been a bit delinquent in teaching her is meal preparation. So I one of the requirements of living with mom and dad for the next 6 months is going to be that you prepare a meal for the family once a week. And I think we're even going to have her go do the shopping and spend her own money. I haven't figured out the meals yet. That's something we're going to talk about. Who pays for what with food? You know, when she was home over the summer, she had to take care of her own lunches. But, you know, that's just stuff we're going to figure out as we go along. But that's one thing I want her to do. I want you to do some meal planning, go to the grocery store, fix the meal for the whole family. So you know what that feels like to put dinner on the table. My sister has a son who was in Boy Scouts. And part of, well, I guess one of his badges was food preparation or something like that. So they had to prepare a whole meal. And it was spaghetti, and he had to have a salad and a vegetable. And he gets done with the whole meal, and he is tired. He is wiped out. And he says to his mom, well, now I know why you're so grumpy after dinner. He meant to say, now I know why you're so tired, Mom. But I want her to have that experience, which I have not. I've been a bit delinquent in preparing a whole meal for a family, get it all on the table at the same time, hot things hot and cold things cold. So she's going to be still doing some learning as a post-college kid. Any other questions, comments, ideas, issues, problems? Yes?
I know there's a lot of different, almost
7-year-olds. Yeah, amount of allowance for an 11-year-old and a 6-year-old. You know, there are different kinds of advice. Some people, just one rule of thumb is given their age, $6, and that, you know, for a 6-year-old. And that could be per week or per month. Yeah, I know, the 11-year-old will like it per week. You're right. And you know what? Here's where I say you can change your mind. Okay, you can try it for a while. If you find that it's not working in that they're not learning the lessons that you want them to learn by having an allowance, you change it up, right? Okay, so I knew one girl that in high school, she was in our youth group as I'm teaching them the Dave Ramsey stuff. I asked the kids, what allowance do you get? I was kind of disappointed. Now, I live in a pretty wealthy suburb of Cincinnati, Ohio, okay? So I was a little disappointed when one of the kids said he doesn't get an allowance. He just asks his parents for money when he needs it, and they are handing over the 20s like it's water. That's not healthy. He's not learning a thing. The other girl, another girl in the class, did not want to tell us her allowance until I kind of pressured her, and then she kind of said sheepishly, well, it's $150 a month, but, wow. But, she made a big but, I have to pay for everything. Gas, I think insurance was covered, but she had to pay for gas, her entertainment, whatever food she ate outside of the house, and her clothes. That dad, I think, was doing things right. So it all depends. The allowance, how big the allowance is, all depends on what the responsibility you're given to that child. A lot of times, 6 and 11-year-olds, it's only fun entertainment money because you're taking care of their food and their clothing and stuff. That's why I did the clothing budget for the teenage girls, right? Still my money, but you're learning the first step toward not spending everything or spending my money. Let me repeat that. What she said was he was content. You gave him a small allowance because he said, if you want more money, do chores, earn it. Right. Well, he didn't want more money, so he wasn't doing chores. So you had to change. Yes, he's not feeling enough pain. Yeah. So now he only gets money when he does the chores or still and mows the lawn. But now if you want to, and this is your 11-year-old, so this is a good age to say, you want to be in camp or sports or something they want, you got to pay for it, kid, or pay half, or something that helps. Boy Scouts. I know, and you got to be careful there, because if you really want them to be in Boy Scouts, because Boy Scouts is a wonderful program, okay, but maybe there's a cost sharing going on there. You could do that.
Yeah, something from a very old family money.
Yeah.
Their chores are earning even their normal.
Yeah, different criteria of chores, like you call them home chores that everybody, because you're part of this home, need to do laundry, cleanings. And then additional chores you can do to earn money. I've hired my daughter to do some editing, video editing for me because she's better at it and I don't want that. So that would be like a paid chore, actually.
Paid chores
versus you do this because everybody is a part of this family and we all ate off of those plates. Yes. Yes, yes, ma'am. The thrill of spending with your 10-year-old, he never saves because of the thrill of spending. There was a study done by my alma mater, Purdue University, where they gave college kids, and this has got a point, this is why I'm telling you this story, not answering your question yet. They gave college kids money, and this was a while ago, go out and buy a camera. They gave some kids credit cards and some kids cash, and they wired. I don't know how they did this, but they wired, you know, what are the little wires to your brain? And the college kids spent cash, it registered pain. When they used a credit card, it registered pleasure. Whoop, pleasure. And they spent 22% more when they used the card. So somehow your son is not, he's getting the high. He's getting like a dopamine hit or something off of spending. He does. Yeah. Anybody have any ideas for her? Oh, we're almost done. She's counting down and back. Do you have any advice for her? And then we got to close. Vitamin N. It's got to hurt him somehow. You got to be creative and think about how am I going to stop this pleasure that he feels when he spends and register it as pain. I'm not sure. He's definitely using cash because he's still a child, right? That's not registering enough pain for him yet. Take away the opportunity. Also, pre-plan your spending trips to say, there's nothing you need on this trip, so we're leaving your money behind. And none of this, I'll buy it for you, pay me back later. You've got a dilemma on your hands. And it's good you realize that as a 10-year-old because you're trying to work that out of him so that he builds better habits. You want him to get that good feeling out of saving money, not spending it. So, well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We've got another session, my session, coming up next. So hope you have a good morning.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.